All right. Let's hold up our Bible this morning, make our confession, say it like you mean it, mean it like you say it. This is the Word of God.
This is the Word of God.
And I have what it says I have. And I can be what it says I can be. And I can do what it says I can do. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm a winner. And not a whiner. I'm a doer. And not just a hearer. Said I'm a doer. And not just a hearer. In Jesus' name. Again, the Bible says we're all a part of the body of Christ. I want you to turn to somebody next to you, behind you, in front of you, and say, thank God you brought the rest of my body this morning. And I want to thank God for what He's done with Seth and Robin. I know He's been with them through all the stuff they've been going through. They've really been going through a lot. But I can't say how much it meant for me to see you up this morning still praising God, worshiping God this morning. And I know it blessed God's heart. Amen? All right, church, I want you to, well, tell somebody, God loves you and so do I. Amen. Now I want you to turn with me to Psalms 100. Psalms 100. Psalms 100. As you turn there, the Bible says, merry heart doeth good like medicine. So I got you some medicine this morning. Again, remember, these are just humorous stories, so please don't be offended. These are the top 10 things you don't want to hear from your real estate agent when you go to settle on your new home. I think the unexplained crop circles add a unique flair to any home's garden. Actually, it's only the rear portion of the yard that overlaps on the ancient Indian burial ground. Yes, the last owner did donate the house to the Hell's Angels, but I'm told that the judge has ordered them not to come within 50 feet of it. One bleeding mirror doesn't necessarily mean it's haunted. Your neighbor has assured me that technically they're not killer bees. Even if there was a full-scale mudslide, it's unlikely that it would reach as far back as your property. It's quite common for roaches to grow that big, even when not in the presence of radioactivity. Did you know that the punk band Grave Robber holds their practice sessions right next door? It's true that they died in the house, but the prosecutor was never actually able to prove it was murder. And the last one, you can barely hear the sheet metal factory at night. That's not what you want to hear when you close in on a house, amen? Amen? About 90 fifth graders piled into an airliner that the captain was flying, and on their way home from a school trip, he said, once we were in the air, the crew began serving drinks. I could hear them pleading with the children to settle down and let the other passengers get some sleep. No amount of reasoning seemed to help until I thought of the solution that actually worked. I picked up the PA mic in the cockpit and I announced, children, this is the captain speaking. Don't make me stop this airplane and come back there. That'd get the job done, wouldn't it? A mother makes her son intelligent in 20 years, but a woman can make him stupid in 30 seconds. Don was driving his car in the middle of the night on a highway. He drives until he sees a stop sign. He slows down but keeps going. A police officer sees this and pulls Don over. Don says, is there a problem, officer? The policeman says, yeah, you just drove past a stop sign. Don said, I slowed down. That should be okay. Can I now be on my way? The police officer pulls him out of his car and begins beating him with his nightstick. The policeman said, would you like me to slow down or to stop? Amen? So y'all remember that next time you go through a stop sign. Amen? Psalms 100 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, his truth endureth to all generations. I think this is one of the most beautiful psalms of thanksgiving. Amen? He said, shout for joy to the Lord. Some of us need a good shout this morning. Amen? And we've got reason to shout. Some of you go, oh, you don't know what I'm going through. You're living in America. You got a roof over your head. You got food to eat. You're better off than 75% of the world. Amen? Give God a shout in here this morning. Amen? And you've got a church to go to freely. Amen. So serve the Lord with gladness. Man, some of us Christians go around, we got this old on our face. You couldn't tell we're serving God. Amen. Or you couldn't tell that we're serving the God. Amen. He said, come before him with joyful songs. He didn't say it had to be a perfect song. He didn't say you had to have a perfect pitch. Amen. He said, have a joyful song. Know that the Lord is God. Do you know that this morning? Amen. And it's he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. So he says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. You want to come into God's presence? How are you going to do it? You're going to do it with thanksgiving. You're not going to come into God's presence murmuring and complaining. Okay? You get the devil's attention, but you're not going to get God's attention. He said, if you want to get into my presence, you're going to have to come before me with thanksgiving. Amen? Amen. He said, give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Church, I believe that we as a people and a nation, that we have truly been blessed by God. Amen? You know, it's not uncommon to make up wish lists at Christmas or to draw up lists of resolutions for New Year's. But here's a list that's often overlooked, a Thanksgiving list of all the things that we're thankful for. I want to read you a part of a list that several housewives compiled. They wrote that they were especially thankful for automatic dishwashers because they make it possible for us to get out of the kitchen before the family comes back in for their after-dinner snacks. For husbands who attack small repair jobs around the house because they usually make them big enough to call in the professionals. For children who put away their things and clean up after themselves, there's such a joy you hate to see them go home to their own parents. For teenagers, because they give parents an opportunity to learn a second language. For smoke alarms, because they let you know when the turkey's done. Someone wrote this list on things for which they was thankful. I'm thankful for the taxes I pay because it means I'm employed. I'm thankful for the clothes that fit a little too snug because it means I have enough to eat. A lawn that needs mowing, windows that need washing, and gutters that need cleaning because it means I have a home. My huge heating bill because it means I am warm. The piles of laundry because it means I have loved ones nearby. You know, our lists might not all be the same, but I'm convinced that if we begin to make a list, we would find that we have much more for which to be thankful than just our material possessions. Like you, I'm sure my list would include major things like life and health and family and friends and the nation we live in despite all of its flaws. But most of all, I'm thankful for my salvation and mercy that God showers upon us. Because of Jesus, we have so much for which to celebrate on Thanksgiving. I'm thankful to God for saving my life 3 times. He saved me when I was blinded and was so caught up in drugs that I had 6 different ministers when I first got saved pull me out of a crowd with hundreds of people and tell me, if it hadn't been for the grace of God, you would not be here today. He delivered me and saved me out of that addiction. I thank God that he saved my soul. Nobody could change me but him. And I had to be willing to let him to do that. And the 3rd time when I had the heart attack last year, I thank God it could have been a lot worse. But God still had a plan for my life. And I want to thank God this morning. It's very, very special to me this Thanksgiving because I might not have been here to see it. Amen. But have you ever considered that no Americans were more underprivileged than that small handful from the Mayflower who started the custom of setting aside a day of thanksgiving to Almighty God? They had no permanent homes, no government agency to help them build their homes. They had no means of transportation but their legs. Their only food came from the sea and the forest, and they had to get it for themselves. They had no money and no place to spend it if they had any. They had no amusements except what they made for themselves. No means of communication with their relatives in England. No Social Security or Medicare. But anyone who dared to call them underprivileged would probably have ended up in the stocks because they had four of the greatest human assets. They had initiative, they had courage, they had a willingness to work, and they had a boundless faith in God. Amen? You know, they had a boundless faith in God. That almost sounds strange today when there's so many forces at work in our nation trying to strip us of every reminder that the foundation of our nation, the conviction that we are one nation under God. Amen? Amen? The devil and a part of the world wants to take that away from his church, but it's for us to stand up and realize God, this country was founded in God. And it was blessed by God. And it needs to continue in God. Amen? Our Declaration of Independence proclaims, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights." And it ends with these words, "With a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." You know, Thanksgiving is a distinctive holiday. It doesn't commemorate a battle or anyone's birthday or an anniversary. It's simply a day set aside to express the nation's thanks to our nation's God. Amen. In 1789, President George Washington made this proclamation. I'm just going to read a little bit of it. "By the President of the United States of America, a proclamation, whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress," did you hear that? Both houses of Congress, "have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God. Now therefore I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, and that will be." This was our first president. He declared this for this country, church. Amen? And this week, our nation will pause once again to celebrate Thanksgiving Day. And you know, we would assume because of our forefathers, because today we have so much, that we would be extremely thankful people. But you know, it's sometimes just the opposite. The more we get, the less thankful we become. The less mindful of God we are. And the more we want. In a certain area of Mexico, hot springs and cold springs are found side by side. And because of the convenience of this phenomenon, the women there often bring their laundry, boil their clothes in the hot springs, and rinse them in the cold springs. Tourists watching this procedure commented to his Mexican guide, "They must think God is generous to supply such an ample, clean, hot, and cold water." The guide replied, "No, senor, there's much grumbling because he supplies no soap." Sounds about right, doesn't it? I think 100 Psalm was written to deal with that kind of attitude, to remind us of our need to be thankful and to maintain an attitude of gratitude. You know, you've always got something to be thankful for. You look around people that you live with, that you work with, that you're involved with, and you look at the thing going in their lives, there's something we can be thankful for. Amen? It doesn't take very long to realize that the people of Israel needed a reminder. And it's obvious, church, that we need one too. Maybe God had us in mind also when this psalm was written. Did you notice whom it was addressed to? The first verse says it's addressed to all the earth. And the last verse says it includes all generations. The message of thanksgiving is so deep and wide that it applies to every person in every area and every stage of life. It's sad, isn't it, that we're the only country in the world except for Canada and the Philippines that has a Thanksgiving Day. I wonder how our world would be changed if suddenly all nations would begin to observe Thanksgiving. I think there's something about giving thanks together to God that breaks down barriers between people. Amen. Amen? I think also that there's a real danger of determining our thanksgiving on the basis of how much we have. Do I have enough turkey to gorge myself? Is my money in the bank secure? Am I healthy? And we let these things determine whether we are thankful or whether we're not thankful. The psalmist says that all these things may change at any time. They may drift away. They may burn up. Someone may steal him. The only thing that we have for sure is our relationship with the Lord. And that's what the 100 Psalms emphasize it. If you look in verse 1, you'll find the word Lord. In verse 2, you'll find the word Lord. In verse 3, you'll find the word Lord. In verse 4, it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. And in verse 5, you'll find the word Lord. The basis of our thanksgiving is not on what we have or not what we don't have. Our basis for our thanksgiving is our relationship with God. Because if you've got a relationship with God, you've got everything. Alex Haley, the author of Roots, had an unusual picture hanging on his office wall. It was a picture of a turtle on top of a fence post. When asked, why is it there, he answered, every time I write something significant, every time I read my words and think that they're wonderful, and I begin to feel proud of myself, I look at that turtle on top of the fence post and remember that he didn't get there on his own. He had helped. That's the message of thankfulness, to remember that we got here with the help of God. You and I didn't get where we are today. I couldn't get free on my own. You can't get free on your own. We're here because of what God's done in our lives. Amen? Amen. And that he's the provider of every blessing that we have. I want to read this. I got this from Janelle, and I want to read this to you. It says, his faithful promises are your armor and protection. A vendor at a state fair gave Mavis Gustafson Pickford a free Gideon Bible. She tucked it in her purse and forgot about it. Later, as she walked along, a car pulled up. The driver pointed a gun and told her to get in. She writes, I did as he said. I pulled over and he tried to force me down in the seat. He pulled over and tried to force me down in the seat. I struggled and finally he ordered me out of the car. Before my feet hit the ground, I heard a shot and I felt a sharp pain in my side. I collapsed and the man came around, took my wallet, threw my purse at my head and shot it. I felt a dreadful impact. Still conscious, I heard the car drive away and I stumbled to a nearby farmhouse. The woman called for help. And as I was rushed to the hospital, the police closed in on the drug-crazed driver who attacked me. Before surgery to remove the bullet in my side, my sister came to see me. She said, do you know what saved your life? She handed me the Bible from my purse. A bullet was lodged inside it, its tip stopping exactly at Psalms 37, verse 14 and 15. And this is what it says. The wicked draw the sword to slay those whose ways are upright, but their swords will pierce their own hearts and their bows will be broken. Another example of how God is always a step ahead. He will rescue you from every trap. He will shelter you with his wing. His faithful promises are your armor and your protection. He will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me, protect those who trust in my name. Psalm 91. Amen. Church, as we look at Thanksgiving, I believe there are five commands in this psalm. The first command in verse 1 says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. That word shout means to proclaim with the force of a trumpet blast. A shout of joy to the Lord that comes from the very depths of your being. You know, if somebody won the lottery, they wouldn't have no problem shouting to the top of their voice from the very innermost part of their being, would they? Well, church, you've got something a lot greater than the lottery. Amen? And maybe God solved your problem. Maybe He has given you direction to go. Maybe He's provided a blessing and you realize it came from God. So from the depths of your being, we're supposed to proclaim His praise. When was the last time you just went out somewhere and had a great big shout and just shouted to God and began to praise God? Church, there's a release in that. Amen? A missionary, Roland Allen wrote about a veteran missionary who came up to him one day after he delivered a sermon. The missionary introduced himself and said, I was a medical missionary for many years in India, and I served in a region where there was a progressive blindness. People were born with healthy vision, but there was something in that area that caused people to lose their sight as they grew older. But this missionary had developed a treatment which would stop the progressive blindness. So people came to him, and he performed his treatment, and they would leave realizing that they would have been completely blind, but because of him, their sight had been saved. He said they never said the word thank you because that phrase was not in their dialect. Instead, they spoke the word that meant, I will tell your name, wherever they went. They would tell the name of the missionary who had cured their blindness. They had received something so wonderful that they were eager to proclaim it. And that's what the psalmist is saying. Suddenly you realize that God has been so good to you that you can't keep it on the inside. And from the depths of your being, you express joy to the Lord. Church, that's what we need to do. More than we do. Everything we are, everything we have, everything we're going to have is because of God. And we need to let Him know. We need to let the world know. We need to let the people around about us. Oh, they may think you're a little crazy, but they think you're crazy anyway. Amen? But we need to shout to God sometimes. Praise the Lord. We need to tell His name. The second command is serve the Lord with gladness. It doesn't say serve the church. It doesn't say serve the preacher. It doesn't say serve the organization. It says serve the Lord. Amen. The Bible teaches that if we're feeding the hungry, if we're clothing the naked, if we do the work of the Lord, whatever it might be, we are serving God. In Matthew 25:40, Jesus said in His message, you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren. You've done it unto me. Isn't that what Psalm 100 is saying? And whatever you do, serve the Lord with gladness. Church, there are people around us that's not going to have a Thanksgiving. There's people that don't have any family. There's people that don't have any resources, any food. We need to look around. You want to make your Thanksgiving a blessed Thanksgiving? Invite someone to your house. Invite someone to come and share Thanksgiving with you. Share the blessing that God's given you with someone else. Amen? A lot of times we get so caught up in, and I know it's a lot of work to cook and do all the things that you do, but sometimes we get so caught up in murmuring and complaining about having to cook and having to do this and we don't realize how thankful we are. Thank God you've got food to cook. Thank God you've got a family that can come and share with you. The third command is come before Him with joyful songs. Psalm 98:4 says, make a joyful noise in the Lord. And church, we can do that. You can do that. Well, I don't have no reason to be joyful. You got up this morning, you're still breathing, you got a reason to be joyful. Because your life can change. One word from God can change your whole life. Amen? Have you noticed in these first three commands, God has said, I want you to be happy. I want you to shout with joy. I want you to serve with gladness. And I want you to come with joyful songs. The psalmist is saying, come before Him and serve Him and sing His praise with joy in your heart. We should be glad when we come before God. Amen. Have we forgotten who He is? Have we forgotten what He's done for us? I know the mess. Church, I'm still a mess, but I know the mess I was before God came in my life. And I told you many times, you wouldn't like me and I probably wouldn't like you because I was so selfish. It's all about me, 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 me. But I know where God brought me from. And when we come before Almighty God, it is a privilege that God will allow me and you to come into His presence. He not only said we can come in His presence, He said we can come boldly. Amen? Just think, you've got an audience with Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth. He can change anything in our lives. Nothing's too hard for Him. Just like the song we sang. Amen? Command number 4 is know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. God took every bone, every joint. He welded them together with sinews and muscles and covered them with skin, gave us eyes to see, brains that think, fingers that can pick up things. God made us inside and out. He made us the way He wanted you to be. He made me the way He wanted me to be. Now, I don't understand why, but somehow God decided that He wanted a tall-sized man, not too bad looking, not outstanding in anything, but a faithful father, a faithful husband who will just keep plodding along. So He made me. And someplace along the way, He had you in mind, and He made you. And He's still making us. And that's what we need to realize. He's not satisfied with the unfinished product. He's not satisfied with your temper. He's not satisfied with the weak areas in your life that you're giving into temptation. He's still making us. He's still working on us. That's why the Bible says, judge not lest you be... Church, we don't have no right to judge one another. We're all of us are at different stages of our Christian walk with God. We are still under construction. God is still working on us. And sometimes we're so quick to cut one another down or stab one another in the back. We're human. We're going to make mistakes. That's what the world doesn't understand. Oh, I thought you as a Christian, you're supposed to be perfect. No. I still live in this flesh. You still live in this flesh. We're not perfect. We're forgiven. Amen? Amen? The Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 and 6, I thank my God every time I remember you, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I like that song we sang a while ago. He began the work. He's going to finish the work. God's not through with you, church. And we need to realize the person that's sitting next to you, God's not through with them. He's still working on them. He's still working on you. None of us have arrived. Amen? God is your maker. You're created in His image. Therefore, give Him thanks for who you are. Oh, I wish I had more hair. Oh, I wish I was a little taller. And I know you women are going to get on this one. Oh, I wish I was thinner. Amen. I wish I was more talkative. Or some of your husbands say, or I wish she was a little less talkative. Amen? We always want to be, God created you just the way He wanted you to be. There's nobody else like you. And some of them are saying, thank God for that. Amen. You don't believe God has a sense of humor? Look at the person next to you. But we're not sad. We're not thankful. We always want, well, I want this, or I would like to have that. I'd like to look like this, or I'd like to be this. No, God made you who He wanted you to be. Your responsibility is to be the best that you can be that He's created you to be for Him. Amen? Everybody has different gifts. Everybody has different talents. God made you unique. He put special things inside you. And nobody else can do that but you. So be thankful. I'm thankful I don't look like Brother Gary. And Brother Gary's thankful he don't look like Pastor Roger. Y'all need some humor this morning. Y'all really do. Amen? My son, younger son Dustin, is always complaining because he's so short. He said, it's not fair. He said, you're tall, mom's tall, and here I am short. But God created you the way he wants you to be, church. Quit comparing yourself to everybody else. You are who you are. God's working on you where you are right now. Amen? And he's going to finish the work that he began in your life. Then he says, we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Most of us want to be shepherds, not sheep. Amen? It's not no fun being sheep. So many times that's what we think. But the problem is, we don't know where the still waters are. We don't know where the green pastures are. And every time we go out searching for them, we end up in the far country. He's saying, you be the sheep. Let me be the shepherd. I will lead you beside the still waters and the green pastures. Just let me lead. Oh, I'll follow you, Lord. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Well, go over there and tell that person that you've been holding that grudge against that you're sorry and ask for forgiveness. Well, Lord, I'll go everywhere but there. Or go over there to that lady who's struggling, don't know where she's going to get food to eat, and give her $20. Well, Lord, I only got $20 in my wallet. I'll do anything else you want me to do but that. Church, are we going to trust him? Are we really going to let him lead us? It's another story I got from Janelle. Keep sending them. I keep using them. It says, no plague, but plague will come near your home. For 9-year-old Keith Pools, winterizing the family pool signaled the end of summer. He writes, I watched glumly from the window as Dad opened a jug and started dumping chemicals in the pool. Then he got another jug and added some more stuff. That's a lot of stuff to put in the pool, I thought. Just then the phone rang and I ran to check the caller ID. Unknown name, unknown number. Mom and Dad had warned me about talking to strangers, but that day a voice inside said, pick it up. The urge was so strong, I lifted the receiver and said, hello. May I speak with Steve Pools, please? I didn't recognize the voice, probably a telemarketer, but something made me say, hang on, I'll go get him. I went outside, phone in hand, and shouted, Dad, phone. He walked around the side of the garage from the backyard and took the cordless phone from me. Hello? Hello? Who's calling? He hollered. A couple of seconds later, he took the phone from his ear and turned it off. Nobody there, he said. Suddenly there was an enormous boom from the backyard. The pool, the dad shouted. It turned out he had mixed two chemicals he shouldn't have. The mixture exploded out of the water, leaving all kinds of toxic fumes. If Dad had been out there at that moment, he would have died. Unknown caller? I don't think so. The person on the phone that day certainly had our number. And the psalmist says, no evil will conquer you, no plague will come near your home. Today, God's protecting you and your loved ones. Amen. If we let him lead us. When I first got saved, Mom called me one night. James, you don't turn the air on. It's hot in here. Called me one night and warned me. Said the Holy Spirit had told her to tell me not to drive my red truck that night, not to go anywhere in that pickup. In church, I didn't know a whole lot, but I knew she heard from God. So I did what she said do. I don't know what might have happened or might not have happened. But if she said don't go and she was hearing from God, then I was going to let God lead me and guide me. I wasn't going to take a chance. How many times has God warned us? How many times has God spoken to us and yet we just blow it off and don't think nothing about it? If this man had just blown it off and not went to answer the phone, what would have happened? How many times has God tried to spare us from things in our lives and we just didn't hear him? Command number 5, enter his gates with thanksgiving. and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. In the Old Testament, the temple symbolized the presence of God. So whenever the people came to the temple and entered the courtyard, they knew they had to come into the presence of God. That temple no longer exists. But oftentimes the place where we meet to worship God is called a sanctuary, indicating that God is there. And God is everywhere. We know that. He's with you when you drive on the highway. He's with you when you work. He's with you as you care for your children. He's with you every moment of your life. You know, I know sometimes we feel like, where is God? I don't feel God. Where's God at? I made such a mess out of my life. God doesn't care anymore. Yes, he does. His word says he's not willing that anybody should perish. Not anybody. His word also says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. No matter what kind of hole you've dug yourself into, no matter what kind of situation you find yourself in, God's still there. I know, but he's not fixing everything. He didn't say he was going to fix everything. He said he's going to be there for you. See, if he fixed everything, we wouldn't learn anything. But he said, I'm going to be there with you. And I'm going to lead you. Just like he said, I led them out of the wilderness into the promised land, a place of milk and honey. God wants to lead you, but you've got to be willing to follow. Amen? I was listening to Pastor Franklin this morning. He was teaching and talking about the cave. We talked about a cave a few weeks ago. God wants to lead you out of that cave. It may be a cave of offense. It may be a cave of jealousy. It may be a cave of pride. It may be a cave of bitterness. But God wants to lead you out of that cave this morning. He had to get Elijah out of the cave so that Elijah could see and hear God. He wanted to reveal himself to him. Sometimes God can't reveal himself because we're so wrapped up in our own problems, our own world. But church, we need to be thankful. When you're thankful, you'll see God's hand move in your life. You'll see other people that want to be more like you because you're a thankful person. I think that's one of the major things that's wrong with this world. There's not a whole lot of thankfulness out there. Everybody feels like somebody owes them something. We need to be thankful, amen? He's the source of our thanksgiving. But you know, I'm worried. What if God began to treat us like we treat Him? What if God met our needs to the same extent that we give Him our lives? What if we never saw another flower bloom because we grumbled when God sent the rain? What if God stopped loving and caring for us because we failed to love and care for others? What if God took away His message because we wouldn't listen to His messenger? What if He wouldn't bless us today because we didn't thank Him yesterday? What if God answered our prayers the way we answer His call for service? What if God decided to stop leading us tomorrow because we didn't follow Him today? Oh Lord, help us to be thankful that You do, that You do not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Psalms 103, verse 10. Church, I pray that this will be a meaningful Thanksgiving season for you and for your family. Take time to read 100th Psalm again. If you'll heed these commands, your heart will overflow with thanksgiving to the Lord. I say so many times, we say, well, I don't have nothing to be thankful for. Stop and be honest with yourself. Amen. Who puts you in that situation? Who caused your life to be? You know, life's all about choices. Who made those choices? Oh, I'm mad at God because He didn't do this and He didn't do that. Really? You have a free will. I have a free will. God's not going to make you do anything. He wants you to choose to love Him. He wants you to choose to serve Him. He wants you to choose to let Him lead you. I'm trying to wrap this up because I know we got dinner waiting for us back there. And the cowboy game. Ah, Lord. Thank God for recorders. Amen. This morning, church, we're going to offer an invitation. And if you have a decision in your heart, I pray that you make the right decision. I want to read this one little story I cut out of the paper, and I'm going to close on this, I promise. Otherwise, we're going to be like that story Janelle told a while ago. Something's going to growl, and it's not going to be something behind you. It's going to be your stomach. So this coming Thursday is Thanksgiving. It brings visions of harvest time, happy family reunions, tables laden with food, big turkey with stuffing and gravy and casseroles of all kinds, cranberry sauce, pumpkin pie, and whipped cream. At Thanksgiving, I envision one thing else, and I bet you do too, the Pilgrims. Theirs was the first Thanksgiving. Governor William Bradford of Plymouth Colony issued the very first Thanksgiving proclamation. It happened 395 years ago. The year was 1621. 1 year earlier, the Pilgrims had landed at Plymouth Rock. It was a dreadful winter of starvation, sickness, and death. The losses of life sustained were staggering. Of the 102 passengers who came ashore that bleak December, 7 died during the first month, 8 died in January, 17 died in February, 13 died in March, and 6 more died before summer. 4 entire families perished. Out of 18 wives and mothers who came over on the Mayflower, 14 died. 4 cooks prepared that first Thanksgiving dinner, and yet they gave thanks. Today, we wonder how they managed it. What did they find for which to be thankful? But they did. Governor Bradford's proclamation was the official utterance of their desire to give thanks to God for their manifold blessings. One can't keep from wondering, is our gratitude that great? Thanksgiving 2016, our nation is one of the richest nations on earth. Our bounty is incomprehensible to the rest of the world. Yet in this, the richest nation on the earth, there are 34 million people who are hungry. Around the world, multitudes are starving. Still, as of old, Christ is saying, you give them something to eat. Thanksgiving 2016, ours indeed is the land of the free. But millions on our planet live in bondage and fear. America can never be truly free until people everywhere are free. Thanksgiving 2016, the greatest blessing of all is our Christian heritage, bequeathed to us and exemplified by the Pilgrims. Because we have received so much, let us resolve at this season of Thanksgiving to witness and to share our faith with our neighbors next door, across our land, and around the world. Amen. Give God some praise and glory in the house. You know, I don't know about you, but at Christmas time, one of the biggest blessings for me is when you see those kids open those presents. That means more to me than anything anybody could give me. This Thanksgiving, you really want to have a truly blessed Thanksgiving? Help somebody else. Feed somebody else. Share with somebody else. That's what Thanksgiving is all about. Amen? It's not just about us four and no more. Some of you ladies are awesome cooks, and some of you guys are too. Bake a cake and take it next door to your neighbor. Do something. Get outside your comfort box. Oh, my neighbor would fall over and have a heart attack if I brought him a cake. Well, pray for them if they fall over. But do something. Do something so God's going to stand up and say, that's my daughter. That's my son. They're doing what I asked them to do. They're showing how thankful they are. Because there's a lot of people out there, this is the worst time of year for them. It's Thanksgiving and Christmas. They're all alone and they feel like nobody else cares. And that's where the church is supposed to step up. He says over in James, and I'm trying to close, he says over in James, true religion is helping the orphans and the widows. So what are we doing for God this year? I saw a deal on TV the other day. Policemen were pulling people over for minor traffic stops, and they were giving them a turkey. Man, you're talking about them people's countenance changed. First, this cop walks up there and thinking, oh, Lord, here it goes. I'm going to get a ticket. And he gives them a turkey. Oh, wow, man, that's cool. Be a blessing to somebody. Put a smile on somebody's face this year. Amen? Give God praise and glory. I'm through. Be Jesus for somebody. Amen? You'll stand, please. If you'll bow your heads.